The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it genuinely, sincerely. Skill Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek is in for Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Rufus Peabody will join us at the desk here, courtesy of Bet Bash 4 here at the D, and then Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Chris Felica joins us once again, kind enough to join us for a second segment, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And by the way, his audio, pristine today. Pristine, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line.
It's a good audio week for me.
It's a good audio week. I think
your show was shamed after the quality audio.
Yes.
The Follow the Money got out the other day.
I got tweets about how good your audio was on that show and why you can't bring it here. And of course, I blame.
By the way, when you went to break, that sounded like one of those like 1980s NBC like NFL promos. Well, yeah, the greatest sports bettor ever known, Rufus Peabody. Oh, and the Bear, Chris Felica. It was like Raiders, Broncos, or they just take on the Bengals. I felt like the Jets Bengals part of that.
My sincerest and most heartfelt apologies, Christopher. I just want to let people know that when we were on break, the best part here was when we were on break, we are watching you watch your bet. So you have in the Germany-Spain bronze medal match at the Olympics, you have Germany. They were in extra time, 7 minutes in, and they called a PK, so you were losing your mind.
I was.
And you thought it shouldn't have been.
I thought that there would at least be a review. And I mean, I'm sure it was reviewed, but they didn't even draw the line. They didn't do anything.
And then what happened?
And then Alexia Putellas put one on goal, and the German keeper made an unbelievable diving save to her left on a great take. So Alemania awarded the bronze medal.
Alemania. We saw the entire
and Germany plus money goes home, get cash.
The entire gamut of Chris Felica's emotions in the break here. All right, two more college football before we move on. What do you got?
Yep. Yeah, I bet Florida State under 9.5, and I know that probably makes you feel so bad being – I know how big of a Florida State fan that you are. But if you go back and look like the top 10 over how – it's a long run where you have teams that are in the AP – in the preseason AP top 10 that wind up like disappointing, maybe not even being ranked. I'd be careful with Florida State this year. They lose a ton on defense. Are we sure DJ Uiagalelei is a P4 type quarterback?
No.
Exactly. Four defensive starters back. You still play Clemson. You'll go to SMU. You go to Miami. You go to Notre Dame. You've got Florida. You got a tricky opener in Ireland in a couple of weeks against Georgia Tech. Like 9-3 is very much on the table for Florida State. So I played Florida State under 9.5. And I also played Missouri under 9.5. The Tigers are a very trendy playoff dark horse type team this year. There's so much emphasis on the schedule. But Reese Davis and I always used to have this conversation and running joke about, like, if you're not good enough, a loss is going to find you. And I'm just not sure that Missouri is good enough with so many people gone from that defense. Running back Cody Schrader is gone. You won 4-0 last year in games decided by a touchdown or less. I think that bowl win over a shell of an Ohio State team probably being a little bit overvalued. I don't think it's like Auburn, Oklahoma, and South Carolina are pushovers if you assume that they're going to lose to LSU and A&M. So under 9.5 on Missouri as well.
The Fighting Ben Wilsons of Mizzou.
I know.
As he calls it.
Grover Cleveland will probably be disappointed with me too.
That's right. The Harvard of Boone County, I believe, is what they call it. And by the way, FSU, have they asked if they're playing exhibition football this year or real football? Do they know yet?
Just like last year, they played real football.
Oh, interesting. I don't think that was the case. All right, NFL. What do you have to share here, sir? What's on your mind?
I played. I heard your conversation with Montessori before about offensive rookie of the year, and I thought about taking a shot with Brian Thomas Jr., the one of Jaden Daniels' wide receivers, at LSU to be offensive rookie of the year at 40-1. But ultimately, I opted for him to have the most receiving yards amongst rookie wide receivers at 16-1.
Where is that available?
That was available with FanDuel.
Okay.
It's where I played that. So, he's in a situation with Trevor Lawrence. They're going to have to replace some wide receivers there. He's a deep threat guy. I know Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers are getting that, and Roma Dunze are getting the headlines. But I think of all those guys, the situation with the quarterback that they have and that division and that schedule and the opportunities that Thomas is going to get, 16-1 to lead all rookie wide receivers in receiving yards, I thought that was a bet worth making. So that was one of the NFL bets that I made. And the other one, I bet the Giants every which way I could. Alt under 5.5, worst record in the league, last winless team. Like the best thing about the offseason Hard Knocks is just looking at a team and being able to find an alternative viewpoint from what the show is trying to produce. And the show is trying so hard, just like Danny Dimes, oh, they're building the team around him, get him protection. Did they really improve their offensive line? Now, their defensive front might be good, but if you look at their schedule, if they don't beat Will Hill's Vikings in week one in a toss-up game at home, the next 7 or 8 games are at Washington, at Cleveland, Dallas, at Seattle, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, at Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Like if they don't beat the Vikings, they ain't winning for a while. So I got them at, it was 10-1 to be the last winless team. And I think 10-1 to have the worst record in the league. And I got the all win total under 5.5 at like plus 155. So
I said that very thing when we were going through last winless, I said that about the Giants. I'm like, you have to be prepared with the Giants that you could crap out week one, right? They could beat the Vikings. Your bet could be over. If you're okay with that possibility, it might be an awesome bet.
Yeah. It's the same thing in flip in reverse with the Jets, because if you think the Jets, like if they beat San Francisco week one, they are on a run where they could be going to be favored in a bunch of games. But it gets kind of like the survivor mentality. The goal is to win the bet and not necessarily survive. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the nine after the Niners, Titans, Patriots, Broncos, Vikings, Bills, like these are all winnable games for the Jets that they're going to be favored in. So yeah. They may lose week one and you may be done. But if they win that, then you got a ticket that you probably feel pretty good about.
Yeah, you hit on that right there. And I'm broken record with the survivor thing, because I think that is a great parallel, which is the way that our brains are wired. When you have a survivor entry, right, the average person playing survivor views it as, well, the longer I go and lose, it's still smarter. Obviously, if you win, you win. But the longer I go and lose, it's better than the person who crapped out early. And the point I'm making is no, that's not true at all. Because that person is playing it a different way than you are, probably. All right, Major League Baseball, sir. Your Yankees still hanging on.
I know. Unfortunately, as I have under 93.5, and I have the Orioles in the division. So they're hanging around, but. The bets I want to look at, and I sent this to you and Will and Fez and Todd last night, like Skeens pitches at the Dodgers this weekend. If he wins tomorrow in LA, like, is there a chance come tomorrow night, Sunday morning, he's favored to win the Cy Young, and maybe he's favored for the rest of the year to win it? I mean, I know it's a narrative award. You got to try and handicap the voters, but you can get him a plus money right now to win Cy Young. And maybe being that the Braves have kind of slid, I know Sale wasn't terrible in his last start, but if Skeen goes out to LA and beats what's perceived to be one of the best teams in baseball, I think there's a chance that Skeens becomes favored to win the Cy Young. And in that division as well, I mean, you look at the Braves, they got a 10-game road trip coming up too. So like 3 against Colorado, 3 against the Balco Boys, and then 3 against the Angels.
You see what he did there? That's brutal.
Did there?
Brutal.
So like that plus 170 to miss the playoffs on the Braves, I think is still playable as well. And then the Padres. If you want to play the Padres, you got to play. You got to make your decision on whether you want to play San Diego to win the division, make the playoffs, whatever it is now. Because you got 3 against Miami, 3 against Pittsburgh, and then you got Colorado. And they miss Skeens with Pittsburgh. Those are their next 9 games. So the price on the Padres is going to dip significantly, I would think, depending over those next 7 games, in which they should probably go 7-2. So the best price you're going to get probably for the remainder of the year on the Padres to win the division is probably before this next nine-game stretch.
Great point about the Padres. If not now, when? Both from a betting perspective and just from a Padres perspective, right? Just if you're a fan of the team or if you're in that franchise, like this is your moment, man. You gotta win games. This is your chance to actually take a division lead, perhaps, being only 2.5 back headed into today's games. The Skeens point is still fascinating to me because I know, it's not just this show. It's every show, I'm sure, we talk about Ken Skeens not only win, can not only win Rookie of the Year, but can he win Cy Young? And again, I lean on the Tom Tango stuff, right? You know, in the Tom Tango stuff, which is the real tried and true formula, he's not really close. Like, he would have to go crazy the rest of the year, and even that might not be enough. But I do think there is a kernel of truth to what you're saying, which is, and it's hard for us to see on Friday morning, but if he just were to have this unbelievable game on a big stage, you know how this goes, right? These are markets with human brains, they convince themselves of things. It may very well shorten, right? That may be true. You may get a much better price. But does that mean that it is steeped in any kind of reality at the end? And that's the conundrum, right?
Yeah, we thought this with the Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA as well. Like, it should have been. But people decided to devote for the guy who can't even play for France in the Olympics, but yet he's the best defensive player in the NBA.
That is the one that they keep hurling insults at us. Like, it never ends. Oh, look, Rudy Gobert can't get on the court. Yeah, it's awful. Chris Felica about to be a hamster on a wheel with college football season.
Exactly.
Bear Bets Pod, once again, with our buddy Will Hill and a cast of thousands as well. At Chris Felica, FALLICA, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Have a great weekend, bud.
Glad his soccer bet worked out for us, because he may not have showed up for the second segment there. Could have gotten ugly. Rufus Peabody in the house. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Hey, if you haven't heard, Visa is now proudly owned by Must Burger Media. This deal is outstanding. To celebrate, Visa is offering its lowest price ever. Special 3-year offer. 3 years of Visa Pro Access, just $350. That saves you over, 75% off the monthly price. Over 75% off. Amazing deal, though, expires on Sunday, just 2 days away. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Instant access to everything we do. Daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who's got the hot hand. Betting splits, betting systems, 24/7 video access, plus all access to our betting guides. The offer expires Sunday. Once again, existing subscribers that would like to add 3 years to your account, please email us at subscribe@VSiN.com. Or if you're looking to subscribe to VSiN for the first time, please visit VSiN.com/special to sign up today. That's VSIN/special. And Wyatt, I know for a fact these are going like hotcakes. Not like there's a limited amount, but it is a limited time. Only 2 days left to get this.
So you're saying they're going like McGriddles, which is Friday, so I get to have a McGriddle today.
And McDonald's downstairs about to go.
That was terrible news you told me. I was a little...
I tell you, Derek Stevens sits in his office for 10 hours plotting to get rid of that McDonald's. That's what he does all day.
I hope they put like an Einstein's in there or something.
Einstein's. Ladies and gentlemen, I've called him the greatest better of his generation.
And you're wrong.
There you go. Wrong again. He might be the greatest better of his generation. That is arguable. What is not arguable is that he has no idea what the concept of Wednesdays are, because that's when he was supposed to be on the show, and he didn't show up, and now he is here to make amends. It's Rufus Peabody, everybody. How you doing, man?
I am deeply sorry.
You are quite okay.
I hate to say this, but I definitely did not know what day of the week it was, and it wasn't the first time this week that has happened.
And this is not because of alcohol?
No.
What is it because?
I don't know why. Even when I got to Vegas I got to Vegas last Friday. I think it's because Bet Bash is starting on the Monday. The golf tournament got like rained out for a full day.
Can I say something about it? Like, we love Spanky, Bet Bash 4. The first one was in New Jersey. I didn't go to that one. Bet Bash 2, the first one was on the weekend here, right? Mm-hmm. Last year and this year, so we do it during the week. Every night is a school night for me, right? So it's very difficult to sort of immerse in the way that I would like to. So I feel bad about that. But he does have this Hall of Fame, right? He has this Sports Betting Hall of Fame. And this year's class, we were talking about yesterday with Crack, is just an unbelievable one. I just got a text from Steve Fezzik. May I read a text that might embarrass you?
Well, if it might embarrass me, then you definitely are going to read it regardless.
That's correct. He says, Rufus Peabody bets millions on every major, wins huge, feared by every bookmaker, not in the sports betting Hall of Fame, Sports Betting Administration Hall of Fame. Oh, he's talking about the other one, not Spanky's. But Fezzik is very, I hope I'm not talking out of turn with him, but he's very aware of who is, because I think Steve one day wants to be in one of these. I'm saying this out loud. I'm not speaking for him, but I think he wants to be. But like someone like you, he feels should absolutely be in one of these.
I'm 38 years old.
I know. So I don't want to talk like your life is
over. I haven't
over.
Changed the industry. Like, a lot of these people have changed the industry. Ron sure. Sacco has changed the industry.
Yeah.
I haven't changed the industry. I'm just a better.
By the way, you're a better. Would you like to share? I have a panel today. Would you like to share the story you just shared off air with me? Would you like to share that about? So I have a panel with Billy Walters on my panel at Bet Bash today, which I'm moderating, not my panel. It's about legislators. Billy's on it. But I also have a former gaming control board person from Pennsylvania, former legislator in West Virginia. You had an experience with gaming control board. Could you explain?
Well, I spoke at a conference this April at the Palms called the Regulators Roundtable Conference, and I hope I'm allowed to say this, but
oh, I'm sorry.
Which actually Jeff Ma was the keynote speaker,
yeah.
Completely independently, and it was fantastic. I had a lot of great conversations with regulators afterwards, but one regulator came up to me and said that they had never met a professional sports bettor before,
uh-huh.
and they didn't realize that winning bettors got limited.
Well, this is, you
so
know,
these are the conversations that need to happen.
99% of people who listen to the show are not going to be on my panel, so I feel okay. I say this, like the legislator who's on my panel today, she said to me before, because we had a phone call beforehand, she's like, one of the biggest points I want to make is no one on the gaming boards knows anything about betting. We learn from the operators. So, I mean, like, you just, it's just comical, right? It's not
yeah.
supposed to be that way, is it?
I mean, that's why Spanky started the American Bettor's Voice.
Okay, so can we talk about that for a second? Because that's also, I don't want to do my panel right now, but that's like one of the big points I want to make on the panel. Because we're all, like, everybody at BetBash, and certainly Billy is going to be the biggest voice of this, but we're all on the same side, right? We're
yes.
all on the same page. What could actually, and in the midst of the DraftKings surcharge week, right? That's the big,
yeah.
thing that happened this week. What actually can be done? Like, I know Spanky started with this, but don't we have to have... Is it a lobby that has to be? Is that what we're creating here that has to, you know, will reflect the voice of the sports bettor? Or does something egregious have to happen that, you know, by a sports book? Obviously, it happens all the time. But something where someone gets stiffed out of something that will get massive publicity. Like, does it have to be a tipping point moment?
That's a great question, Gil. And I think, obviously, a tipping point moment will help a
yeah.
lot. I think it's a money thing. I do think it's a money and influence thing. I mean, lobbyists are the ones that write the legislation.
Yeah.
And the operators, you know, have a lot of lobbyists. They spend a lot of money on that. Bettors don't. We don't have a coalition. We don't have an organization until now. And so I think the goal here, like, is to use money, hopefully, for influence to increase awareness. This isn't trying to say, oh, you know, let's tilt the playing field in this, you know,
yeah.
unfair way.
Right.
It benefits bettors at the cost of operators. We just want a fair shake.
Now, I want to say this, and I hope Spanky's listening here, because we love Spanky, right? Should Captain Jack be the head of this? Should he be the face of this? I don't know that we want it. Spanky cannot be the face of this. I'm just saying.
I think Richard Schutz is a fantastic
Richard
choice.
Richard Schutz, okay.
CEO.
Okay.
I mean, I think Captain Jack would do a great job,
I
too.
I do, too.
I think Richard Schutz has credibility from, 30 or 40 years in this industry, having worked in every single position inside a casino.
His current position is?
He's the CEO of America's
Bettor's organization.
Voice.
Okay,
yes.
There you go. Okay. All right, that's
Richard
perfect.
Schutz ran the Stardust back when it was the Stardust.
The Stardust itself, yeah.
He is respected by everybody on all sides.
Okay, back to you in the Hall of Fame. Last time we had you on, this was after the U.S. Open, I want to say, and you had everybody but DeChambeau. You could have lost like a $500,000. You ended up losing $300,000. Was that it? Was that the story?
Well, no. We laid DeChambeau not to win.
Not to win.
At like -2350 to win $15,000.
Right.
And then we did hedge a little bit going into the last round. Actually, a lot going into the last round.
Yeah.
I mean, not enough, but it was actually a slightly positive EV hedge. I think we lost for the tournament a little over $100,000.
Open Championship? How'd that go?
Very good. Very, very well.
Define very good, if you could, for us.
To
the decimal point, to the cents, please. No?
Mid to high six figures.
mid to high six figures. Are you having the best year of your life?
Financially, yes.
Yes. Do you ever see a time where you were – why would you? Why would you stop – why would you ever stop doing this?
I mean, I'm in year five of my midlife crisis right now.
I know you are. We used to talk 10 years ago you were in a midlife crisis.
I mean, I'm not objective. You're a lot more objective than I am here and have a better memory than I do. But, you know, yes, like, I've had a very good year, but I could see the writing on the wall.
What does that mean? That the fact that the ability to do this because of some of the dynamics we were talking about, just the math is not going to work out?
Markets get more efficient. There are really, really smart people out there that are younger than me, hungrier than me, that are going to take my place. I'm sure of it. And I think a lot of it is just that I don't have the same level of motivation that I did 10 years ago.
We talk about handicapping sports, right? We talk about it like game to game. We're like, well, this team is – they just won a championship, so
– you know, we need to be handicapping the motivation of handicappers.
Apparently, I'm finding out that we are in your case. So what would you like to do beyond this?
This is why I'm in year five of the midlife crisis. I have to. I haven't found that next thing that will give me purpose, I guess.
Do politics interest you? Do you bet political stuff, by the way?
You know, I will.
Okay. Like, you don't have anything in this election.
I was able to bet. This was what? I'm not good with days of the week. Remember this.
I understand that.
2 weeks ago on a Monday, this is the day after Biden had resigned via Twitter, and nobody had heard from him.
Not resigned, but said he's not going to run for re-election.
Not resigned. Anyway, I was able to bet at like 89 cents on the dollar the no on will Kamala Harris be president by Friday.
By Friday.
So basically, you just all you have to do is fade the conspiracy theories.
That's right. Where was that available?
That's Polymarket.
By Friday.
Which actually is not available to U.S. residents, but it's good to have partners that are outside the U.S.
After the break, I want to see if there's stuff that I can, because sometimes getting bets from you, because the way that you do it is, you know, in a way that I have to pull teeth. But do you have like pre-flop football positions in pro and college? Are you, because college football college football was always your thing. College basketball became a thing for you. Do you have pre-flop positions or do you just go week to week? I can't remember.
Week to week, typically.
So nothing before the season?
You know, if I had my stuff together.
You can't remember anything? No.
No, I haven't actually bet anything.
If
I was more together and more motivated this summer, then I would have futures positions. I would like to have futures positions.
Okay.
Though I will say with where interest rates are, if I have to put money at stake for 6 months, the threshold for a bet is a little bit higher.
Okay. You're always thinking opportunity cost and that kind of thing.
Yeah, opportunity cost is real.
It is real. Macroeconomics 101, Rufus, everybody knows that. Rufus Peabody, everybody, should be in the Hall of Fame, will be in the Hall of Fame. Too young, apparently, to be in the Hall of Fame. Also not motivated enough, we're learning, to be in the Hall of Fame. More with Rufus on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Friday, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, at the D, Bar Canada at the D, second floor at the D. Everybody stopping by and saying hello. Always appreciate that. Rufus Peabody, kind enough to join us for another segment here at the Shield, at the table at the D.
Shield.
Well, it is kind of shaped as like a Captain America shield.
Well, look at my shirt.
Yeah, you're very patriotic today.
Exactly.
Was that because of our USA win yesterday in basketball? Did you watch that?
I mean, it's just in hopes that I run into Rob Pizzola at some point today.
Rob Pizzola, who is famously Canadian, to Joe White, to just like sort of just be like, I'm American, you're Canadian, do the math. Is that what you're kind of doing with that shirt?
Something like
that. By the way, Pizzola's awesome.
He's great.
Pizzola's the only guy, unlike you, who just didn't show up. Pizzola's the only guy who in advance is like, you know what, dude? I think I'm going to be so knocked out of it that I'm not going to be able to make it over. I also think he thought we were at the South Point. Great guy, though.
Fantastic guy. We golfed together on Monday.
Yeah. Good golfer?
Yeah. I mean, I played with him at the first or second Bet Bash, the first one in Vegas, and it was a little painful, I'll be honest.
Okay.
And he's improved a ton since then. Yeah. And he loves golf. That's the big thing.
Many of us are terrible golfers. That is a tried and true thing with many. Let me just ask you.
I've lost three straight Peabody Cups on my way to the fourth, so.
What is, good God, what's a Peabody Cup?
It's Peabody versus Peabody.
I see.
Against my brother. Every match we play, every time we golf together in a calendar year is worth one Peabody point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you do this for the rest of your life, and then what's the win?
We have this big trophy. So it's engraved. Tom Peabody, 2001. Tom Peabody, 2002. Tom Peabody, 2003.
So when you're 85 years old and he's 83, what, the winner just beats the crap out of the other person? What's
I'm 6 years older here, so I'm at a massive. I'm at a disadvantage.
I see.
I'm on the wrong end of the aging curve.
You really are. Aging curve, famously part of your baseball model, I know, and other sports as well.
Aging is real.
So for I want to try to inspire at least one person out there about you. And so for those who are unfamiliar, explain how your whole structure of your betting. Because most people are like, well, he's just like an average guy like everybody else. But you're not. You're a guy who is
a pretty average guy.
You're not. Stop it. You're not the average sports writer. You're running a statistical model. You are the brains behind it. You have an operation where your brother is part of it as well. You have a guy that you said last time that you best hire you ever made.
For sure.
So explain to folks what you do.
Actually, I should have gotten him in here because he's the guy behind our college basketball simulation.
What's his name?
His name is he is at Telemachus.
Okay.
Model on Twitter. I don't want to say his name.
I'll say his name. Yeah.
But what do I do? I build quantitative models and find inefficiencies in sports betting markets, and that's kind of what I've done for a very long time. Things have evolved as more data has become available across all sports. I used to bet a lot more sports than I do now. I think that it has become much more difficult to win at sports betting. And if someone asked my advice, I would say what you want to do is specialize more. Don't try to bet everything. Get to know one thing really, really well. And so for me, the thing that I specialize in the most is golf. And I do that pretty well. But that's not an accident. I put a ton of time into modeling it. I have code I run. A lot of it's automated.
Did it become golf because you had a specific interest in golf, or did it become golf because you thought that was the sport you could actually exploit the most?
It became golf because we started betting it and we started doing well. I mean, we started betting golf in 2009.
Yeah.
And so I think I also love the sport. And so, I mean, I do love the sport.
Yeah.
And so my love of the sport made me more motivated to work hard on the handicapping side, which drove my love to actually golf, and it became this sort of virtuous cycle.
So the average person listening is going to say, okay, but this guy's brain is obviously, like, even when he says the word quantitative, they tune out. What would you say to them? Like, in other words, if they do want to be you, and they want to at least, if they just want to at least approach what you're doing, what is your advice to them education-wise, or is there?
I wouldn't say there was anything special. I think there are things that are special about me, but I don't think that in the scheme of things there are. I never, back when I was at college, I never lived with somebody that was dumber than me. I mean, wait. See, look, I can't even figure out what I'm saying.
On by design or just happened that way? That you didn't live with someone who was
dumber than you. It was at Yale. There's a lot of really smart people.
There it is. We cracked the code, ladies and gentlemen.
But
Yale,
I thought I was I felt like I was like really dumb in comparison. And I finally found something that I was really engaged and interested in. And I think and I worked really hard at it.
Okay.
And I think that's what it comes from, though. You need to have a passion. You need to care about something. If you want to get in sports betting because you think you're going to make a lot of money doing it, that is the wrong reason to. There are other better, easier ways to make good money. If this is something that you're like, this is my calling, I love the numbers side of sports, this is what I want to do, then I would talk to you and say, okay, like, how should you approach it?
Do you believe that you need some kind of basis in numbers to be successful in sports betting, or do you believe that, like, we had Fezzik in here the other day, he's a former actuary.
Yeah, he's very, very, very smart.
Very smart, but he's a big advocate of, you actually don't have to be that smart if you're just following something every day, market by market, and you just know, you know, if you could just get an edge, just basically, that's the quickest line, right?
But you still need a sort of numbers framework. You don't need to be a quantitative wizard. I mean, there's two ways to win.
Would Unabated be a nice hack to that numbers framework, by
the way? For
sure. Okay.
For sure.
Would you like to plug Unabated for 10 seconds?
Yeah, I'm a co-founder of this company called Unabated Sports. We have an odds screen. We integrate trading tools to allow you to figure out the value of points to compare markets. We have an NFL simulator, which I'm very passionate about, and we're going to be launching a college football simulator.
Oh, huge.
So
Unabated.com, is that where they should go?
Unabated.com.
Okay. All right. Continue. I'm sorry.
I was going to say there's two ways to win.
Okay.
Better information or process the information better. And I think what Fezzik was saying is if you have better information, you can win. But you still need to know how to value that information.
Absolutely.
And everybody I know that wins at sports betting, even if they are not, quote, quantitative people, know how to use a spreadsheet. They know how to do some basic numbers things. Because at the end, you do have to quantify something. You have to say, okay, what is the probability this team covers?
Well, in your, I'm just asking you to guess now. Of all, in the universe of sports bettors that you've met in your entire time on Earth, what is the percentage of winning bettors to you who just bet sports?
So for me, it's going to be higher because I've met more winning bettors.
You probably have, yeah.
But what do I think it is in the
even
universe?
In your universe than the real universe, what do you think?
In my universe, probably 5 to 10%.
So in the real universe, what is it?
In the real universe... 1 to 2%.
Which gets back to your point, though, which is you really have to have a passion about it, and then there are easier ways to make money than betting sports. I get it.
There are some easy-ish ways to make money betting sports now. Yeah. So the sort of top down handicapping. If you have no basis, if your starting point zero, I think you could teach anybody to be able to make money betting that way.
So explain what you mean by
top-down. So top-down basically means looking for a source of truth, and Unabated is actually very good with this. So you find a source of truth, a line that an operator offers that you believe is more correct, or a combination of lines that is the sort of most correct, and then bet at a book that offers a price that's different, basically. So it's early, but
no, that's what Fezzik's talking about. That's the straightest line to being a successful sports
better. If everybody's offering -110, and then this market making book that is actually engaging in the process of price discovery and taking bets from sharp customers, they move to -130, and all these other books follow, except one book stays at -110 because they're a little bit slow for 5 minutes, and you bet the -110. That's going to be a good bet.
This was the Pinnacle Lean we talked about many years ago was a great way to gauge, like, oh, I'm on the right side, oh, I'm on the wrong side. You could see from something like that. But that is – I'm sorry, go ahead.
So it's figuring out in a particular market which books are sharp, which books are actually taking bets from sharp people, and moving on that action, and then so you can exploit stale lines.
Okay, so you do not have the point being, you do not have to have this unbelievable system that you have in place if you are not inclined to do that. There are other ways to win.
I would say the problem with the top down, though, is scaling it.
Right.
It's going to be really, really hard for most people to scale it. Someone like Spanky has scaled it to an incredible degree.
But there's not going to be another Spanky.
But it's really, really tough to do. Yeah. And so what gets difficult is that you show closing line value when you do this kind of top down betting. And books see that. You get limited at domestic books. You lose your outs. And so... there is sort of, I don't want to say there's a ceiling, but there is more, there's a higher floor, but a lower ceiling than sort of originating your own plays.
Last thing, do you get worried about this? We talk about through the prism of the DraftKings surcharge this week. Do you worry, though, now that this is only going to get harder and harder for sports bettors, or do you believe we can actually affect change in the other direction here?
Harder in what sense?
Harder in just the terms of the math is going to get, the limiting, the math, all of it is going to get harder.
I mean, I think it's going to get harder. I believe markets tend toward efficiency. So I think it's going to get harder to win. I am optimistic that the U.S. is going to end up being different than the U.K., that we will bring awareness to the space, that Spanky and Richard Schutz at American Bettors Voice are going to do an amazing job and help us all.
We end on that. Rufus Peabody. Thank you, Rufus. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming by.
And
from Unabated. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Gil Alexander. Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. Kelly will be back on Monday. That's the beautiful thing about Bet Bash 4. Is that whenever they're in town, like our whole week is just filled with guests and guys willing to come over on the show. So it's awesome, man. And I'm glad Rufus, despite the mulligan on Wednesday, was able to find his way over.
I like that the patriotic shirt he had was a nice touch.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Best listeners in the game. Charlie D, USA number one, did you release the name of your secret sushi place? No, because Kelly's not here this week. And Kelly was part of that, so we're going to wait for Kelly to come back. We will do it at some point this month. Promise. Frank Albright, looking good in the Padres season win total, 12 games over 500. I know, Frank. A lot of baseball to be played, but we are looking good there. Rat City, don't bother with the men tennis picks. It's pouring rain all day. Won't be any tennis today. I'm caught in the eye of the storm here. He's talking about in Montreal, so I guess our match won't even get off. Tronsky, I don't think anyone carries betting splits for WTA, but I would be very cautious with Anna Kolinskaya today. Gil is with the crowd. I'm 30 cents ahead of it, so maybe the crowd was behind me, sir. He says, feels like 95% of bets on Sinner's girlfriend, Kolinskaya. Anisimova is a difficult out on hard court. She sure is. And Anisimova is she's a tough one to predict, period, because her numbers are janky, right? Because she's played, and then she hasn't played, and she's played, and she hasn't played. So her numbers are a little janky. Kolinskaya's have been great, but, you know, again, I already recommended to people, don't play it at the current number. It's too far gone anyway. New York Mets 16 says Chris Felica must be fun to have in a water gun fight playing with, because going along nice and fun, and then he hits you with a paintball. Talking about his Balco Boys comment where he's keeping me on my toes. This is from Primetime. I'm sorry, but Rufus Peabody being in the handicapper room in the gambling building is the chef's kiss to end the ANG week. Happy Wednesday. And Mike Alvarez, I appreciate Rufus' point of view so much over the years on this show. He is a great example of no matter how good you are at something, there's always room for self-evolving. His thoughtfulness and self-reflection is also very inspiring. It really is. He's an interesting character for sure. And the quote from Lou Finicaro, via text, I think this sums it all up, what Rufus was really trying to get at, which is, you know, Jay Sullivan. This is from Jay Sullivan. What was that Len Banker quote he said? Sports betting is the toughest way I know to make an easy living. Like that quote. Toughest way I know to make an easy living. Jason Weingarten's been at the racket for many, many years. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Spreadopedia on Twitter. One of the more amusing Twitter follows you can follow. And we have Jason on camera today. Look at this guy. How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. You very happy? This is your happy face. Rose Zhang just eagled 18, Jason. Aren't you on Rose Zhang here?
Well, she, I guess she did that a while ago, but she's got Lydia Ko two shots ahead. So it should be a competitive final round, but Lydia Ko will have the advantage. Nothing else you could do but put yourself in position, though. So happy with that.
You have a bet on her at what number?
Yeah, I think I got the pre 16 to 1. I got some 20 to 1 live. So got some nice numbers on her. Hopefully can do something with it down the stretch.
All right. Jason always loving his Rose Zhang bets. Any baseball today, sir?
Yep, got two plays for you. I got the Padres. I think that's a 4 o'clock start on the West Coast. Padres minus 119. And what's the second game? Hold on, let me find the second game I bet. Oh, this is an interesting one. I think you might like this. I bet the Colorado Rockies plus 145 versus the Atlanta Braves.
That's, yes.
That's getting tight. It's getting very tight. They could potentially fall out of the wild card with a couple more losses.
Well, they are out of the wild card as of this morning. They're a half game out. The Braves.
Oh, they're half a game out right now.
Half a game out. Yep. Wyatt is waving me off. Noted Braves fan.
We've got. Let's see. Jason, Michael, Felica brought it up. Will Hill. I feel like you had a group text of like, hey. Why it's a big Braves fan.
Jason and I aren't on a group text. We're just on a singular text.
No.
Yeah? No, we.
I hope you win most of your bets. Just not that one.
Just not that one. That's what Parles used to say about it. Is that your dog right there, Jason? Could you?
Yeah, I can hear my dog. He just, somebody upset him at the door or something.
Is there a baseball awards bet? We're sitting here. It's still, you know, it's still August 9th. We are not that close to the end of the season. We still have a lot of runway. Base Winner and I still haven't done our Q3 show, for God's sakes. That's next week. So we have more than a quarter of the baseball season to go. Is there an awards bet that is out there that's still a long shot where you're like, you know what? This is still a great bet.
long shot. I don't know if I'd necessarily call it a long shot, but I think it's worth at least having a conversation about other guys in the National League for Rookie of the Year who deserve consideration. I'm not saying Paul Skeens has lost the award by any means, but all it's going to take is one or two bad starts to get the Jacksons back in the conversation. I'm talking Churio, who's had a great last month or 6 weeks, and Jackson Merrill in San Diego gets very little credit. He's been the opening day starter at center field. He also was in the All-Star game. I sent you that stat. I mean, he has like 3 walk-off home runs or something, which is like tied for the MLB lead or whatever. Every stat of his is impressive. He's just getting no respect because Skeens has been that good. But it's really only going to take one or two bad starts, which hasn't happened yet, but it could potentially open up that race. Otherwise, I'm a little worried about Sale, just because you kind of have that barbell thing where are the Braves going to make the playoffs? If the Braves don't make the playoffs, does it hurt Sale? I'm not sure. It shouldn't, but it might.
I got texted.
I don't know. I think the MVPs are wrapped up, by the way. But what were you going to say?
You do think the MVPs are wrapped up. You think it is Judge and it is Ohtani. Yeah, I mean, I was making that. So a couple things. I was making that case earlier. Michael Montesano was talking about Ketel Marte, who he had 40-1 last week, and now he's 6-1. And I'm just, you know, I said the same thing about Bobby Witt Jr. I used Bobby Witt Jr. in the AL, which is he's the greatest player. He's like on the greatest run of baseball you'll ever see, and still you can't bet him to win the AL MVP, right? As long as Aaron Judge remains upright. And I still think of the National League, as great as Ketel Marte has been, is unless Ohtani gets hurt, it's Ohtani. So I agree with you there. The Skeens thing is, I was laughing while you were saying Skeens because we just had Chris Felica on, and you're saying like he's one or two bad starts away from, oh no, what about, you know, Rookie of the Year? And he was making the case, if he has this great start against the Dodgers, can he still be live for Cy Young? So Skeens is like, he's this amazing individual inflection point where it's like it could go, what we're saying is it could go either way dramatically, I guess.
It could, but I mean, the fact is, at the end of the day, if you wanted him to win either award, you could have brought him up on day one. You shouldn't be rewarding teams for manipulating service time. And, you know, he was ready to go on day one, or he wasn't. The guys who were ready to go on day one, like Colton Cowser, for example, he's the favorite in the American League. The Orioles brought him up and kept him up, and those extra games at the beginning of the year are likely going to be what pushes him over the line versus the other guys in the American League. Again, not all, you know, sealed up yet, but it's just weird. In the American League, the extra games are helping this outfielder, but in the National League, Skeens is so good that we're just completely overlooking Merrill, where every other year recently the outfielders have beat the pitchers. So I guess, I mean, Skeens is that good, don't get me wrong, but historically these awards aren't sealed up this early.
American League Rookie of the Year, anything there?
Cowser, I think he is going to end up winning it because he got the extra starts at the beginning of the year, and his numbers are just going to be, you know, better than everybody else's. Remember, gross numbers in some cases are more important than the 2 or 3 months you put up, yeah, you know, later in the year.
I got it. Somebody was texting me all excited about Jackson Holliday, and I'm like, I don't know, dude.
I mean, I'd love it, but he did not too late. You know, that's the Wander Franco thing. You got to come up early and contribute.
By the way, Wander Franco, since you bring him up, and obviously, like, horrific allegations off the field, are we ever going to see that guy again? Ever? Maybe not, right? What a story.
Unlikely. My prediction was the next time we see him is going to be Dominican Winter League, but I wouldn't even guarantee that at this point.
Yeah, might not be a life, you know, that he is going to lead. We'll see. Okay. Anything else beyond baseball that you are betting? Any football preflop? Any awards bets that you made this offseason?
Well, didn't do so great with the teasers last night. Fortunately, no. I didn't go too heavy with them, but I will be on them this week, weekend. I like the over in the Ravens-Eagles game tonight, even without the tease. And then there's that Olympic boxing. I know we didn't get any chance to talk about it. Fortunately, it's not something I really wanted to talk about either, but everyone's been following this ladies' Olympic boxing. I took the underdog today, 4-1, Liu Yang, I believe his name. I got like 435 or something against Iman Khalif. I know that's a very interesting match for some people. I'm taking the 4-1 here, so I think that's a good boxing Olympic spot right later on today.
I didn't see Olympics boxing.
Not the boxing shot here.
I was going to say, I didn't see the Olympics boxing bet coming at the end of the show, but here we are. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia on camera, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you guys again next week. Hopefully
you too.
Win this box.
Yeah, man. Miss Jason at Bet Bash 4. Didn't make the trip this year. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. I got a panel to do. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.